Welcome to Cold Omaha's High School Hockey Podcast. I'm Danny Ryan. Joined with me again is Tony Scott of the Youth Hockey Hub. Tony.
How you doing, Danny? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and Carl East from the USHSO Forum.
I missed an H in there.
You get it?
I cannot get that.
By
the end of the year, we'll get there. Yeah.
It's too difficult to say. I'm on it too much. I don't look at the URL. I look at the threads.
Just call it the forum.
Yeah, the forum. Okay.
Anyway, I'm here.
Yeah, Carl from the forum is here. Okay. Let's first start off. I think it's due time that we should probably do some apologizing to some people and some
I totally agree.
I'll first start off in the season of giving and apologizing, the season of Festivus. I apologize to Mitch Mattson of the Grand Rapids Thunderhawks. I called him out last show.
We all did.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Saying that he really was not playing up to his potential, which at the point he wasn't, but he lit it up, really showed off in this Edina Holiday Classic in my book.
He's now got 7 goals and 13 assists.
Yeah, he added to that.
Yeah, he's definitely the real deal, and I take back any ill will I had towards Mr. Mattson.
You know, he was a little
and his family.
He was a little quiet in the first period on Thursday night. I was watching the game from home, and I was about to text Danny. I was like, no, Mattson's doing nothing. And then immediately, as I'm picking up my phone, he goes and scores. And like, oh, okay, never mind.
Yeah, I think he benefits a lot from having Bischoff and Adams on his line. And not to mention, he's a good player. He's a draftable prospect this year. And so, and there's scouts watching him every game that he's out there. So I think he definitely showed a lot of reasons why he's a top draft pick.
He's be number 2, I would guess, in the state behind Tufty.
Number 2, I think that's fair.
98.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I mean, there could be there could be somebody older who's blown up in college, but I just think I'm studying just the 98s
in high school. Yeah.
Yeah, and I can't think of anybody else. I mean, last year we had some, you know, more dominant players like Wilt Borgen. You could definitely see as next level talent. Even Jack Becker from Ottomidai who left.
But these are late round.
Those are late round. I think Mattson is a 4th to 5th rounder.
Sure. Yeah, and but I mean, if we're only counting high school, because Kiefer,
it goes without saying we can talk about a lot more.
Right.
Okay. Who wants to start off the?
My turn to apologize. Yeah, okay, I'm going to apologize, and it's so funny reading Carl's rankings. Everyone saw it coming, and I bet you Follow the Puck has him ranked in the top 10 too. My apologies to my good friend Joe Pankrantz and the Prior Lake Lakers. Looking back now, it's really easy to apologize to them. Yes. They lost 6-3 to start the season to Eden Prairie. So if we go through the list, how many teams have lost 6-3 that are really good in the top 10 to Eden Prairie? I mean, like, you just go down the list. Like 4 or 5 teams have lost to them. So I would say Prior Lake is in the same class as these teams, and they've just killed everybody else they've played since then. So they're definitely firmly inside of my top 10 that will come out on Tuesday.
They've outscored people since then 37-4.
Yeah. And it's like they're not even trying by the third period type games.
Well, and they have good wins, too. Like, Burnsville is a team that we think is a good team.
It was easy. We covered that game, and it was an easy win.
Yeah, I mean, other than the 6 goals, they haven't let up more than 1 in the rest of their games, which is crazy to think about. But, I mean, this is a class that has Kevin Fellows, good player, Connor Clemens, good player. I mean, we've seen these kids through the youth level, and they've always been talented.
Oh, yeah. I mean, their defensemen, Denman and Harris, I mean, that's a really deep group, very physically mature group. I mean, there's not a lot of young kids. They do have a young freshman on their team. But for the most part, this is the year that – this was the year they've been pointing to since they won the Pee-wees in 2012.
Yeah, I remember Danny, you and I in the preview podcast that we did at the start of the season were saying, when is Prior Lake finally going to show up? When they can finally come through with all this talent they have coming through? And
I actually, I think it's going to be next year because no one's getting past Eden Prairie. We saw that this weekend.
Right.
Okay.
Carl, your turn to apologize.
Okay, well, I'm actually going to give a non-apology here.
Okay, all right.
Apologize to Duluth East for dropping them out of the top 15 last week.
Yeah, that's true. And sticking on the lines of non-apologies, I'm going to go non-apology to our good friend Brandon Molesky. On the same note, he torched me on Twitter for my dumpster fire picture for your Duluth East. He didn't like that we were making fun of kids, and had he seen the string of texts that I was having. I was having fun with the entire demise of Duluth East, and no one's a bigger fan of Mike Randolph. If anybody knows, I've written story beyond story. Mm-hmm. I love Mike Randolph. It's they're in their downtime. Let's have some fun with it. Go through Christmas break, and the Hounds will be back. Everybody knows it.
Well, and the other thing is, too, we jab at everybody. Kids jab at each other, too. I mean, there's so much trash talking off the rink that, I mean, this isn't...
And on the rink.
Yeah. I know.
So, Brandon, come on. This is not... This is a different age. Grow up.
Yeah. Anyways, let's talk about some games. First off, Tuesday, Carl and I were at this game, Blaine Benilde. Benilde wins this game 4-3. Shots in the game were 42-29 Benilde in their favor. And Blaine got hot in the start of this game, but then cooled off, getting three goals right away by Tufty, Fussy, and Penn. And then the depth of Benilde just took over with Connor Mayer, which I think is having a great season. Mm-hmm. Zach Ristow, Callinger, and Nick Austin in the third period finally topped it off. And really, I like this game out of Benilde. It showed how they can come back after a three-goal deficit. Paulie, like, still was upset, but, you know, at least this team was able to get together and show that they can outskate everybody in the state.
Yeah, and even when this was a 3-0 Blaine lead, Benilde never felt out of it. They were generating a lot of pressure. It kept coming, and you could see the comeback, you know, starting right away, and it did. And
they're so deep. Yeah. All three lines can really hurt you.
Yeah.
Not like Eden Prairie or Grand Rapids, where it's maybe one or two real, really talented groups, where this is three just incoming in waves.
Yeah. You look at the wrist style, Augie Moore, Gleekel line, great line. And then the Holmer, Horton, and then what's the other one on that line, Carl? Do you remember?
I'm
blanking too, but that's a good second line that they don't have a lot of size, but they're very gritty. And I think that is a good skill for a Benilde team to have. That's more of a run and gun fire type of team that they normally don't have that grit along with them. Mm-hmm.
They mimic their coach. He's a gritty coach.
Yeah, well, in some ways, yes. And lacks defensively.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He is gritty.
And so, what it comes down to every time I see Blaine, it's the Riley Tufty show. Mm-hmm. There was one point in the third period where they were on a 5-on-3, and it was seriously Riley Tufty taking five slap shots, Carl.
Yeah. They were just feeding him the puck. That was the sole strategy on the power play. Just get Riley the puck in the circle, have him blast away.
It didn't matter if there was a guy on him or what. Yeah. It was just like,
Notre Man could have been wide open on the
didn't side. Matter. He's just going to rifle it.
And it seems like Tufty's sweet spot, if anybody's listening, is right on the bottom of the circle on the right-hand side. That's where he loves to take a slapper.
Oh, he's a heck of a player, that's for sure.
The kid's a first-rounder. He's putting up video game stats right now. I think he's got 27 points. Or somewhere close to that through maybe 9 games or something like that. So
Riley Tufty, 16 goals, 12 assists.
Okay, 28. I was close. Yeah. But not bad. How many games again?
11, I think.
11. Okay, that's not bad. I mean,
nine.
So he's,
at least that was close.
So he's averaging over 3 points a game. I mean, mm-hmm. he's their team. Without Blaine, this team, without Tufty, Blaine really struggles.
And that really came out in their game against Anoka on Saturday, where Notre Dame had a hat trick. Tufty assisted on all of them, but that was all they got. And they lost 6-3 to a decent Anoka team, a team that's going to make some noise. But still, that's a game they should win.
I love Anoka. This is a good group of kids, and I'm still, you know, I wanted to jack. We talked about this off air. I wanted to jack them up to number two in the section after beating them in my seedings, and I looked at their resume and went, oh, we'll just keep them at four. Well, they have no resume right now.
But if you want to look at Anoka, they are the foil to Blaine. They've beaten them now three times in a row, that's right. I think. Yeah. And so,
couldn't you imagine if they get number four? I mean, Blaine's staring at that going, no, no, we want to play Maple Grove, you know?
So
they're probably cheering for Anoka. They're probably cheering for Anoka
which
to win. I know.
One of the only people who have cheered for Anoka out of Blaine in a long time.
Yeah.
Anyways, let's move on to another Section 5 team playing a Section 7 team that Carl's well familiar with. Centennial winning 5-3 in pretty dominant fashion, too, in the sense of goals. They come out scoring four goals in the first period.
On eight shots.
On eight shots, which is pretty good save percentage. And Duluth East ends up losing to Centennial 5-3. Duluth East, though, outshot Centennial 32-23. The wheels on the bus are really falling off right now.
That was okay. I was okay with that one, but yeah. the Marshall one where there's a section seating game. There's a crosstown rival. I mean, the backstory behind all of this where we won't play you because you're not double A. Yeah. That I mean, there's so many things.
Yeah. The emotions going to that game are always going to be weird.
Yeah,
so yeah.
You had no idea how that was going to turn out. And
there's
credit
a
Marshall.
I mean, Duluth Marshall's trying to build a bantam program, which is then trying to poach players out of Duluth East to come play there. And Duluth Hockey, Hermantown, Cloquet all just went, no, you can't do it. This is bad for everybody except Marshall. I mean, everybody. Marshall's the lightning rod. And to have them beat, the heir apparent, beat them, it was just really bad for everybody except Marshall. There was a big party.
Yeah, and Marshall is going to have a good Christmas this year. Let's just put it like that.
Yes.
Yeah, and with the East, it's a tough loss. It's one of the probably worst regular season losses we've had to deal with in my time following East hockey. But at the same time, it's early. It's still early. They've outshot everyone they've played this year. I think we just need to be patient and let Mike Randolph do his thing.
But defensively, I mean, this team is letting up goals like they're a sieve. There's a problem here. Is it goaltending or is it defense?
It's defense.
Defense. Okay.
And I mean, they have top level defensemen too, and Spencer and stuff. This is a decent defensive team.
This is Duluth East.
They're a defensive program.
East, okay, this is Duluth East. They are. They have so much talent there.
Yeah, it's just been error prone, and right now I think it's maybe a focus issue, just getting everyone on the same page, focus, and really honing in. Like Randolph said it in his quote to the Duluth News Tribune after the game, saying, if this doesn't get their attention, nothing will. So
this is rock bottom.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see how much farther they can go. If they lose to the Grand Rapids, I think that's rock bottom with their season.
Well, no, actually, they're going to lose to Grand Rapids.
Oh, wow. Bold prediction.
I'll be there. So I will be there.
Okay.
We host a youth hockey. I host a tournament in Hibbing the next day, 8th through the 10th. And I said, guess where we're going to be on Thursday night? We'll be at IRA. So
it's not a bad place to be.
No.
But, okay, let's move on to another game that happened this week. Wayzata, Holy Family. Wayzata wins 6-4 on an empty net goal. Shots were 33-26, Holy Family. And then, really, the storyline in this game is Wayzata got off the boards quickly with four goals right away. And whenever Wayzata scores four goals right away, I think that says that
it's a game set match.
Yeah, for anybody that they're playing.
Yeah.
And especially on a non-Olympic size rink, because they even play better trap hockey on a non-Olympic size rink. And then Holy Family started to come back, and they score two to really end the second period. Get back on the board with two more in the third, and then Mark Senden, the captain, ices it away with a goal late in the third, and then they got an empty net goal from Billy Duma, or no, that could have been even strength.
That might be questionable.
Yeah. Did Holy Family tie it up at four?
Yeah.
They came all the way back. Well, congratulations to them. That's a nice comeback.
I think a storyline in this game is Wayzata went 3-for-6 on the power play, while Holy Family only went 2-for-7. I think when you're playing a Wayzata team, you got to take advantage of every chance that you can get, especially on the power play, and you cannot let Wayzata get on the board early and often. And they're like the Vikings in that sense. You know, once they get on the board quickly, they're going to run it with Adrian Peterson, and that's the same way with – yeah, they'll just wear you down and hit you hard.
Yeah, I was kind of blown away. They have two really good goalies.
That Holy Family.
Stauber and Mo, and Stauber must have just had a
– he laid an egg.
Bad outing. And that guy on Twitter – properly threw him right under the bus. I love it. Like, here's the biggest apologist of all time for Holy Family, and he takes his goalie and just wails him under the bus. Stick, mask, skates, pads, just all there. I'm like, poor guy. This is public. You are tweeting this public. Like, it's four goals on five shots. Or I'm like, well, there's goalies do have parents. I get ripped for a dumpster fire. He's throwing down stats.
Yeah. I think the
what's worse? I mean, yeah. Mine's just a figurative. His is literally just hammered him.
I mean, both are good goaltenders. Moe's a very good goaltender. And Stauffer's, you know, the fact that they're sharing time shows the fact that they're both very good.
Yep.
And so, I also think it goes to show that Holy Family has depth to get on the board against a Wyzetta team, against an Alex Schilling backstop, because and they're scoring from a couple different players, too. Messler scoring, Redden scored in this game. It wasn't just Anderson and Guerin scoring, because Guerin's going to get a goal in every game. We know that.
Yeah, I still think they need more. They need more than just those two.
I do, too.
And that's got it for them to... Again, why are we even talking about Holy Family? I mean...
Yeah, that's true.
I mean...
That's true.
Prior Lake might be able to give them... Section-wise, I mean, they're a nice team, but they're not going to get... They're not going to beat Eden Prairie.
I think they're number three in their section. Yeah. With Prior Lake now.
Yeah. Oh, for sure they are. And they beat Taka, so they should be three. And let's just put them right there and move on, right?
Move on. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's talk about moving on. Let's go over to Blaine Minnetonka, another team that, you know, Minnetonka is up and down. They're hard to judge.
Yeah. I always tweet about these teams. If you follow me on Twitter, I always tweet like teams hard to figure out. They're definitely one of those teams. St. Michael Aberville is another one. Like,
You know what I mean? They lost to St. Francis.
You know what I mean? Anyway, sorry, but Tonka is another St. Michael. I mean,
I have no idea what's going on with
figure
them.
Them out. Mm-hmm. And you know what? It's kind of weird. At Bantams, too, and Pee-wees, these two teams were always really ultra-talented. But when these kids were there, and I'm not speaking for last year's Minnetonka Bantams who won it, but they were just frustrating. You watch all this talent, and they could never really get over the top, you know?
Yeah, I feel it's their coach, too. Their coach just cannot win the big games. He proved that in the state tournament when they had their very
more
good
talent than anybody.
And they were 10 just
D1 players.
10 D1 players. And they were D1 at the time, too.
So,
to not win with that team, I thought was very showing about that. And really, they haven't gotten back to that level. Even when they had Vanelli, they had Schult, they had very good players even after that. And they just haven't shown that spark that a late conference team should show.
I was following the game on Twitter. I thought for sure, just by the tone of stuff that they were, I thought they were going to beat.
Yeah.
They were going to win.
Yeah. That's what we were seeing on Twitter. Yeah. But they lost, ended up losing 3-2. I don't know if I said that. Minnetonka did outshoot them 34-22. Outshot Blaine, but really the storyline in this game again is my Mr. Hockey winner is Riley Tufte.
Yeah,
he puts away for the game winner. I mean, the kid does everything that you like on the ice. If you haven't seen him play yet, see him play this week because you'll see him play versus Middlestead. But he is just so much fun to watch.
That'll be the best game of the month, believe it or not.
Well,
this week's game of the year.
Don't say that.
This week's game of the year, yeah. The Benilde EP game was great. Yeah, I think this game could be as good as that.
Okay, and I think that's a fair point.
Think there be any scouts at that game?
I don't think so. I mean, it's not close to the holidays, so nobody... Well, geez. If you want to meet any, go to Gabe's beforehand. Anyways, let's get on to the real games that happened this week, and they happened at Braemar at the Dinah Holiday Classic. This was the 34th... annual games of this, and it's not always been these matchups, but I think Hill's been in this tournament before.
Well, I'll go back, as you know, because I'm in my 40s, so I can tell you the history, at least when I was in high school and after college.
Share the wisdom.
They played at the Met Center. There was this building. You know where IKEA is? There was this building called the Met Center, and that's where they played it.
Oh, really?
It was incredible. It was the most incredible. I'm going to just harken back. You need like the old-fashioned piano music and oboe playing in
remember
the background.
When.
Yeah, exactly. It was like a social outing. You would go to Met Center. It was packed. I mean, it would be 12,000 people. You go to Braemar, there's like 2,000.
Yeah.
There's six times the amount of people would be at these games to watch high school hockey players. And it was Edina. It was basically just Eichela and the three best teams in the state who we invited previous going into the year.
Yeah,
sure.
This is more lock, stock, and barrel. Yes. You know which four teams you're going to get. Then it was just like the teams, you know, you just lined up whoever you wanted. And it wasn't if Jefferson was going to be, it usually wouldn't be Jefferson because Jefferson was in the same conference as Edina. Sure. So he would get three, he'd get a Rochester John Marshall when they were really good, or you'd get a Grand Rapids. Yeah. I mean, this is, again, this is the 80s, so Duluth East was not even relevant then. They weren't. I mean, they weren't relevant. I mean, he would get teams just from all over. It was great. You'd go there and see him.
And it's still not a bad tournament. That's the thing.
No, it's awesome.
I know. I tweeted out a picture of Eight Kids in the Box from 2011. That's why I love this tournament. It's one of those things that whenever I was in college, I looked forward to coming home to see, because I always thought that, you know, it was the one time out of the year that I could see Grand Rapids play in the Metro and watch them, like, just check people in the boards as hard as I can. And so this is one of my more favorite tournaments of the year.
It was some good hockey, too. Are we going to go game by game on this?
Let's go game by game.
All right. Yeah. Okay. Rapid fire, like a speed round?
Sure. Okay, let's start with Eden Prairie, Elk River. Eden Prairie dominated this game pretty much from the start, 5-2. Eden Prairie over Elk River. Elk River's goals were in the third period. And even though shots were close, the matchup was not close. I mean, what really stood out to me is Graham went bar down on one of these goals. Just a stereotypical Graham circling in the slot and just going bar down. He's the best, you know, shot in the state, at least one of them.
Is there a theme here with the Eden Prairie games? Is like they get a lead, they let you kind of get back in, they toy
sort of it, play with you
like a mouse, or like a little string with a cat, and then in the third period they just put you away.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they can do that. They couldn't do that against Benilde, and that's what makes Benilde special.
Yeah, I think that's true, and that's to that point. I think that's what made Lakeville North special last year. Is Lakeville North whenever
do the same thing?
They could turn on the switch, and they could just be like, let's score.
Next level talent.
It's out there. And then they turned it off. And it was like last year, sometimes I'd be like, Lakeville North is not that good.
Yeah.
But they were actually like really good whenever they wanted to be.
Just I read someplace. I don't know where, Carl. someone tried to compare Lakeville North's team last year to the Jefferson 93. That's the most disgusting comparison I've ever heard in my entire life.
No, the 93,
I almost passed out.
93
I was like,
no. 93 team killed everybody that they played and didn't even make it close.
Within three goals. No.
They demolished people, and the next level talent that was on that team is just crazy. I'm a Jefferson kid. I don't want to get too far into that.
Yeah. Crazy.
Anyways, really, this game just showed why that Eden Prairie is one of the top teams. It was kind of a boring matchup, that was kind of to be expected, actually, in this game. Moving on to what I thought was one of the better games of the whole tournament, as far as watching a team dominate another team, and that was Grand Rapids winning 6-4, and it wasn't really 6-4. It was really 6-2 over Edina,
yeah.
And they just controlled every aspect of that game. The Hayne-McLaughlin-Miller line is beautiful to watch. They just control you in the offensive zone, and they just – this is a very fun team to watch.
And that goes back to last week we were talking about it. Getting Alex Adams back is what makes then they get their second line intact, and those three are just like – you know, they're like peanut butter and jelly and bread. I mean, it's pretty, it's tasty to watch.
Second period,
you know, that is tasty.
In that second period, you really saw what Rapids is capable of when they play at their peak.
And they scored
four
goals.
They don't get to all the time, but when they play like that, as good as anyone.
They were just controlling every aspect of the play. I've never seen an Edina High School team under Kurt Giles actually ice the puck to relieve stress in the offensive zone. You don't see that from Edina. It just doesn't happen because they're such fluid skaters that they don't need to do it, but they were doing it against a Grand Rapids team that was rolling four lines against them, which is crazy.
And they made Edina look thin. Edina had one line that was generating much offensive zone time.
Let's get to it. They are thin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a fair point. I think they're thin in defense, and I think they're very thin in forwards because they really don't have an elite scorer this year.
No, Casey's about the closest thing they got, and he's, check my stats, he's leading the team in scoring, and it's the point numbers are low. I'll get him in a second.
Casey is a wingman. He's a wingman, you know, at a bar. He's not the guy goes up and talks to the girl.
No. Okay? That is solid. That's your best take ever right there. That's right. Mm-hmm. And they got a whole bunch of other wingmen too. You know? And the funny part was they're going to be a good team in a year or two, but this is just, they're way too young, way too thin, you know.
And they're not physical like an Edina team is. Sammy Walker is not going to out-physical you by any stretch. And so, and they're Mikkelsen's not a physical player. Tabor might be their most physical defenseman. Yeah. I think this game really exploited the flaws in Edina. Let's move on to Friday. Friday, Grand Rapids, who was riding high, and at least the highest I've ever seen a Grand Rapids team play in this tournament, just fell flat on their face against Eden Prairie, losing 6-3. And this was pretty much Eden Prairie from the get go. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they just came right out of the gate, scored at will, and it was kind of over. But then they again Rapids.
They fought back.
They fought back. Was it 4-3 and then Middlestad took it away, right?
Yeah, it was 4-3, yep.
Middlestad scored. Well, he didn't score the goal, but yeah, he rushed it up.
And then
Sully knocked it in, and they did, at their initial attempt, they didn't even get Middlestad credit for the assist. I'm like, what are you talking about? He took it end to end.
And that's the thing. Also, I want to point out, this was probably Casey Middlestad. If you saw him in this tournament, you understand now why he is so highly titled. This kid is just fun to watch every time he's on the ice. His hands in a phone booth. He will get right out of those corners with the puck every time. He wins 50-50 pucks. They're 100% his.
Last night during the broadcast, Wagner, he goes, he phone booths it. Like, it was a verb. Phone it was classic. Okay. Like, meaning he made a move. I knew exactly what he meant when he said phone booths. Yeah. Yeah. He was, in case he had the puck.
Casey does weird things like that. He had a stick handling move, it didn't even go anywhere, but he just took it through his legs and moved it to his backhand. And it was just, it looked so easy. For him.
He's the man.
Do kids in high school today even know what a phone booth is anymore?
Yeah, that's a good one.
How can we... I don't know how to use another analogy. I'll think of one. Yeah, I'm good at those.
That's your job, Danny. Okay.
But really, also what stood out is Rapids was 0-4 on the power play on this one, and Eden Prairie was 3-4. I think Rapids got to stay out of the box sort of scenario. And I believe that State School started in this one. And Stay School has looked shaky.
He got yanked. Yeah. He got yanked after the second period. And he played JV on Saturday. So.
Yeah, and he didn't even back up on Saturday. And so I think
he was walking out of the lesson. He was walking out of the locker room. It was his birthday, too, on Saturday. Oh, happy birthday, Zach. You're playing JV. Poor kid. I love that kid. I feel bad for him because if you really think about it, I was talking to a couple of Grand Rapids parents. Like, he's in a really tough spot. Okay, first you have a senior who's coming in, so he's got to go beat out this kid who he's probably looked up to.
And Bert played last year,
right? So I got to beat this kid out. Gabe Holmes, a good friend of his, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So he's got to beat him out, right?
Yeah.
And then he's got to play well, so he's got a lot going on, right? Yeah. I feel bad for the
start
kid.
Every third game, so it's hard to build any momentum that way.
He's in a really tricky spot. It's either you got to just let him have it, or
back him off.
Save
him for next year.
Yeah.
I think also I heard that Klatt said that this team doesn't have an identity. And I think that goes to the point that their goaltending doesn't have an identity. Right. Their forwards don't have an identity because he keeps switching the lines through the injury. And so I think this team's only going to get better, but they need to build together too. Yep. And I think we'll talk a little bit more about that when they lost on Saturday, but let's go to Edina Elk River, and I want to move past this game as quickly as possible because I almost fell asleep during it.
The most exciting part was the puck getting stuck in Sammy Walker's skate.
Which you never see. It legitimately got stuck in the skate, and they had to stop play, but really, this was not an exciting game. Edina won 4-2, but really it was two empty netters, and all the scoring was in the third period. It wasn't a fun game. I think this game was the lowest of the low that I think we'll see Grand Rapids play because they can only go up from here.
Which one? I think Edina.
Elk River. Elk River. Sorry.
They had some decent chances. They probably had more chances in the first period, but they just couldn't finish.
They didn't know how to find the back of the net. They didn't even know how to find the net when they were curling around the net and stuff like that. It was kind of pathetic at some points.
Keeping on the Elk River, I talked to Jax Murray on Friday. And he said it would be 5 weeks.
Okay, so possible.
Keep hearing different reports.
Done season, 5 weeks. I mean, 5 weeks, if you're feeling 100%, then go back out. But if you're not, save it for next year.
No, he'll play.
You'll think so?
Oh, yeah, he'll play. 5 weeks is mid-January. He'll be fine.
So we'll see.
That's big for them. I mean, right now, I mean, they're going to be the number one seed in that section.
Well, if the section's starting, I don't want to think
today,
about it.
Yes, but
think about that.
Section's a mess right now. So
section is just a mess. Yeah. I have no idea how to map this one out.
I know. St. Francis, that's all I got to
say. Just give them the one seed. Yeah.
One seed. Yeah.
Well, and everything's on home ice when you play at Amsoil, but anyways.
Oh, brother. Seriously, I'm going to just keep a...
Let's save that one for later.
Yeah, really.
Well, let's talk about Section 7 a little bit more about Elk River Grand Rapids on Saturday. This was probably the best game I've seen Elk River play out of four games I've seen them this season. Ben Myers played well in the net, but the storyline in this one was really Alex Adams' check that really he didn't hit him that hard, but the guy picked his way, you know, and was falling into the boards, and it was a 5 minute. It looked like a 5 minute. And it just sucks that it was a DQ as well for Adams. And you could tell he felt bad for it, but Elk capitalized on it. And they really don't like Grand Rapids and want to win this game. Mm-hmm. This is always a grunge match, and they would rather win 8-2 than 6-2 sort of thing every time.
I wasn't there, but I predicted after I left that there would be a fight. And I think via Twitter, I did see there was a little scrape at the end, right?
Yeah, Micah Miller, and I forget who he fought, but it wasn't really a fight. I think they got called for fighting just because of the five-minute major. That was because of Adams. Refs were already on edge, and so that was kind of the way it went. So I think looking at this game, really, Elk River, if they continue on this trend – after this game, this is a good game to build momentum in their season. And if they can, they're going to be a tough team to play with.
They're going to be number one, baby.
They're going to be number one.
I'm going to go back to that message board post I had way back in June or July when I predicted them in the top 10. I was basically laughed. I think you banned me from the message board for that.
I didn't ban you.
Ludicrous post.
You got to do a couple other things.
I think they're
going to
be
banned.
Good. They're going
to,
no, I'm joking, but they're going to get. They could be popping into the top 10, not this week or not, but within the next couple weeks.
11.
Yeah. They could be there for sure.
Well, and then the rubber match of the whole tournament, it was Eden Prairie versus Edina. This was to win the tournament this year, a tournament that Edina hasn't lost, which I looked up, since the 2006-2005 season, which the only team that they beat that year was Grand Rapids, which was led by Pat White and Joe Stay School. And so that was amazing that they actually beat that team. But this game was 6-4 Eden Prairie, and it was close throughout until the third period where the scores for Eden Prairie they took over, where Graham scored, Sullivan scored, Blackowak scored.
Blackowak.
I don't want to pronounce that name.
It's not hard.
It really is.
There's more coming, too. Let me just say there's Blackowak's coming.
Blackowak. But this was really Eden Prairie came to play, and they wanted to win this game more. And I think they're the better team on the ice every time they go out against Edina this year.
It was funny. I was watching it, and, you know, Wags is a former – he's an Edina grad. And you can just kind of tell in his tone.
Oh, Homer.
Kind of tell there's a little bit of a, yeah, Edina scores kind of thing going, you know. And, you know, EP scores, and he's excited, but it's about 50% excitement. And when they put it away, you could just hear him crying. It was great.
Well, it's like CBS college football.
Right. Yeah. When SEC loses, right? It's totally,
oh, no.
It's exactly what it is, you know.
So I think this tournament taught me one thing. Eden Prairie's the real deal, but I think we kind of already knew that. Rapids doesn't have an identity, which I think we probably already knew that as well. Elk is more for real than what we thought they were, and Edina can win against mediocre teams.
Yeah. I think Edina's good. I mean, they're not top four.
No.
You know? And we're so used to them being there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're used to them being elite, and they're not elite. They have elite kids.
Yeah.
The team is not elite.
Not yet. Yeah. Not yet. They could get there, though.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's take a little bit break between games and stuff like that. Let's stretch it out, and let's talk about some other elite kids that aren't getting the looks that they should, I think, right now.
Or are you just going to say they haven't made a verbal commitment to school? Or with the kids I'm going to announce on this, that they're young guns. You guys can stick to the old fogies, the 11th and 12th graders. I'm going to go with three kids that are uncommitted still to schools. I'm going to go with the top one. This kid is the number one uncommitted player in the state, bar none. Anyway, his name is Ben Brinkman from Edina. I talked about him a little bit last week. He's injured. He's on the Edina varsity. He's probably for his birth year, the birth year 2000, he's the number one defenseman. If is one or two number one defensemen in the country. When he comes back, and I tweeted this out, he'll be back in mid-January, right around the same time Jax Murray comes back. He's uncommitted right now, but he's got offers from every school he could dream of. Gavin Hain has offers from Minnesota and North Dakota. I don't know what he's waiting for. I mean, there might be another college offer out there that's better than that. I'm not sure, but at some point he'd be committing to, I would guess. And then a guy, I don't know if he has any offers. I can't document any offers, but Ben Helgeson from Hill Murray.
Oh, yeah.
Again, he's kind of like Edina. You know, he does well against mediocre competition. And when he played against Benilde, I didn't really even notice him out there, right? Well, you didn't notice him out there.
I didn't
see him. Trust me, he was in our Bantam Elite League last summer. He was the MVP of the league. He is a real hot commodity out there. Coaches are coming to watch him. In droves right now.
What makes Brinkman a good player? Because I have never seen him play. Actually, I have, but
there's
not.
He has no weaknesses.
Is he big?
Yes, he's big. He's 6. I talked to him in the rink on Saturday night. I'm 6 foot. He's 6'1". I bet he's 175 pounds. He's a ninth grader.
Can he hit?
He can whatever kind of game you want. You want speed? And carried up, he can do that. If you want a playmaker, you want a slap shot, he's got it all. He's at this point, as a ninth grader, he's way beyond what Ryan Zulsdorf was.
That's what I was just going to say.
Way beyond. I mean, not even in the same stratosphere.
And Zulsdorf was an amazing player as a ninth grader,
but he
too.
Played Bantams as a ninth grader.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that was a very good Bantam team.
It was probably one of the best I've ever seen. I'm serious. It was one of the best Bantam teams I've ever seen. And they barely beat Duluth East.
Double overtime?
No, it was in regulation. It was in regulation.
Overtime. It was definitely overtime.
At Braemar?
In the final?
I think it was regulation, 4-3.
I'm
pretty sure. I'll go double check that. I'm
going to trust
we covered it. Yeah,
crying
we'll see.
Afterwards.
We're going to lose the championship games in overtime.
I wasn't there. I was running another tournament that weekend, so I wasn't at the game. But I'm pretty sure it was just a 4-3 win. But it was an amazing game. It was, by all accounts.
Carl, who are your players?
Okay, well, I think the most obvious senior who's uncommitted right now is Wyatt Amott from Hermantown. That won't surprise anyone. He's dominant in state tournament last year, dominant elite league. Great defenseman, plays big, easy choice. Sticking with the Class A theme, go with Chase Ellingson for Breck, who's been lighting it up so far this year.
Great
top player on the team. That's probably the top team in Class A right now, Breck.
They will be tomorrow or on Tuesday on my list, no doubt.
Yeah.
What they did at Cathedral is just blows me away.
Well, when I saw Breck in the beginning of the season, I said this is a fast team, but I didn't see a physicality, and I didn't know the scoring when I saw them against Holy Family, and I saw the physical nature of Hermantown. But Hermantown, since we saw them against Wayzata, they're a different team.
If the scores aren't very good, I don't know. I haven't seen them.
And if you look at those stats, the top two scorers are way ahead of everyone else.
Not
quite the depth we had last year there.
Yeah.
For Hermantown, you mean?
Yeah. And when we saw Hermantown, Wyatt Amott didn't leave the ice. And I think they can play Amott less because they do have depth on defense. And so I like Hermantown, but it's just one of those things. They need to right the ship in a couple of ways.
Mm-hmm. They're still going to state, so it's not.
Yeah, yeah. Anyways, what's the last one?
Number three, I'll give a shout-out to the best player on the best team in the state right now is Connor Mayer. I think
he's committed.
He's committed though, so you can't. We're going.
Yeah, come on,
he is.
I'll commit it. He's going to UConn.
UConn,
that's right.
But that's a good shout out, though.
Yeah. I think he deserves a shout out.
Yeah, he's good.
He's really good this year.
Their whole blue line is stacked.
Yeah, which they haven't
solid.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, I'll start it off on my list. I like Luke Nauderman for Blaine. He's Riley Tufte's right-hand man. If Tufte scores, Nauderman gets an assist. I think he's a good player at any level. He's got great size. I think he's got great potential on the next level. Like him a lot. I'm going to be a homer here and say Billy Jerry for my Cadets. Cadets can't score, but Billy Jerry can. And so I think you look at him, he is a good player. He's got good size, he's got good speed, and he's got good vision. I like him a lot, and I think my last player, moving over to Class A, Tanner Tweedham. He's probably one of the best physical power forwards in the game, and he can still shoot, too.
Yeah, he's, they're coming back.
They're coming back. Once Lovin comes back, I think this is a different team.
I think it's going to be a good team.
I think that team is poised to come out of Section 8, but...
I'm still leaning towards TRF myself.
They look pretty good when I watched them in the end game. Yeah.
But if you look at EGF, just tied Bemidji, which is a good tie.
And
that's a top 10 Bemidji team because we have known nothing about the Bemidji program this year.
No, I think Bemidji's, I mean.
They're good.
I still have him in my top 10.
Who's their Brady Tartu? Or
Tatro.
Yeah.
Tatro.
He is another player that's not getting a lot of love. He's a very good player.
Yeah. He's got unbelievable hands. I mean, one of these kids that, I mean, he should be in the score sheet every game type of kid. Great vision. Not the greatest speed in the world, but he's
that's
really
a Section 8
really good hockey player. As good as they come. I mean, he's an all-state selection.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. Now let's talk about a couple of games that are happening this week. This week's a short week due to Christmas. Happy Santa. And let's start off on Tuesday. Duluth East plays Maple Grove in the Metro, so it's your chance to see the loser Hounds play and possibly win a game. I think this is a game that they should win, could win, and must win.
I still don't see them winning this game.
I know. I don't either. Also,
yeah.
I, for whatever reason, I just have zero confidence in the Hounds right now.
Did they win this game last year, Carl? Do you remember?
I can't remember off the top of my head.
But, I mean, this is a Maple Grove team that has good players. I mean, Sam Huff's leading them in scoring, I want to say.
I almost want to say he's injured, though.
If he is...
You know, he was injured until maybe just this week. I'm not sure. So
Trevor Janke is a
Janicky.
Sorry, I'm bad with names.
No, that's fine. I'm here. That's what I'm here for.
So he's
behind the scenes.
He's a freshman committed to Notre Dame already. He's a very good player. Maybe a little undersized, but he is a freshman.
The only thing that's undersized about Trevor is his physical maturity.
Yeah, because
his brain. He's as smart as they come. He's fast. He's easily the fastest guy on their team.
Yeah, he was really fast.
He's got great hands. He's a game changer, but he's just still super young.
He's still a freshman.
Yeah.
Sort of scenario.
Super young. But I'd still put him way ahead of Helgeson. Way ahead.
Yeah, I will agree to that. When I saw him playing the Turkey Trot, I was impressed by him.
Yeah, nice little combination going there with him and Huff on the top line.
Yeah, I liked him a lot. And so I think... This is a Maple Grove team that can definitely win the game. Good goaltending by Brady Goodman, who's been playing since a sophomore. So I think Maple Grove can win, and it's Duluth East to lose sort of scenario.
And talent-wise, it's not even close between these teams.
but the mentality-wise, it's not close either.
We learn a lot.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And to answer the earlier question, East won 4-1 last year.
Okay. And so... Maybe, you know, they have a little bit of confidence going into a game, let's hope. Talk about a team that doesn't really have a lot of confidence playing on Tuesday is St. Thomas versus Wayzata at St. Thomas. St. Thomas barely scraped away a 2-1 win over Tartan on Saturday, which is not very good for us. But I look at the St. Thomas team. It's a very talented team. They have... playmakers pretty much at every level with Billy Jerry and Jason Smallage, but it's going to be hard to score against a Wayzata team.
If we had sound effects, we would enter in the broken record sound effect.
Yes.
We've played this record for three straight weeks now. You know, it's time.
Hey, they're going to win.
They're going to beat Wayzata?
I think they beat them last year.
I'll bet you one of those goofy little
last year.
Hats you guys wear when you go to the game.
Oh.
One of those little whitey things. Hi, I'm a cadet.
That's just mean, okay? They have chin straps and everything.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll bet you one of those.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
You have to wear, when the cadets lose, you have to wear that thing in here. I'll wear my Indian headdress from Southwest, okay?
I wore my Class A uniform and sang the fight song last year at work because they lost to the Greyhounds.
Okay.
So I will do the same at this show if they lose in that game. Okay,
I'm with you.
Okay, so I think that this would be a good game if you want to see a top matchup on Tuesday. There's not much going on in the Metro other than the Maple Grove Duluth East game. But if you're up north, I would definitely go to Hibbing versus Greenway.
Oof, it's going to be tasty. Mm-hmm.
This is probably the best game of the day.
Yeah.
Hibbing is undefeated, which you don't always say about a Hibbing team. And even rarer, Greenway is without Gino Gaillard, and they have one loss right now.
Yeah, they're for real. They beat Proctor 11-0.
The Rails.
The Rails. They beat them 11-0. No, Proctor beat Princeton. That was my whole take, is they beat Princeton on Saturday.
We all know how much Tony loves Princeton.
I love Princeton.
Go Tigers.
Well, they knocked them out of the top 10. Now I got to go back and look for another team.
Tragedy.
Put it number 10.
But
Scotty Perunovic has 26 points.
Is he a forward? No. He's a defenseman.
No, he's not. He only 5 goals, 21 assists.
Jesus.
His puck control is, I remember the first time I saw him play, I was broadcasting him. I'm like, he reminds me of Scott Niedermeyer. I was like, you're just one of the best defensemen of all time. Like, he's that good. This kid just controlled the game and he played against Wayzata. He just toyed with Wayzata the whole game. He's so talented, and he will be the difference for them. They will beat Greenway, but if Greenway at home in the snake pit,
ooh.
I mean, those boards in that building are ancient.
Building has memories.
That's a great night there.
Yeah. So it'll be a good game, and this will be the first big game that the Snake Pit has seen in a long time.
2002, 2001 sort of thing.
I don't know if it's that long, but anytime they play Rapids, it's a big game. But
true.
This is this game really means something.
Yeah.
I'm excited to hear the results of this one.
I would drive up on Tuesday if, I wasn't working the rest of the week just to sort of game. This is one of those northern type of hockey games that is going to be a lot of fun if you're there.
Hibbing's got a good schedule. I mean, they play Apollo, too.
Challenge themselves pretty well.
And they play Hermantown. Both of these teams play Hermantown, which will be a good matchup to see how Hermantown plays against Class A opponents in their own section.
Right. This is a good section.
Yeah.
Probably the strongest in A.
Next to four.
Yeah, next to four.
Because everybody else in Class A, if we're going to talk about sections, Class A section.
Oh, section two is the toughest one with Breck and Blake and
Orono.
Orono, New Prague's in there now.
New Prague's
Kennedy's
in there.
Yep. In there. I mean, that's crazy.
Kennedy beat Holy Angels.
Yeah, I know. I mean, so.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah. Okay. But my point is, that's the best section, I think. And then you go up Hermantown, the seven.
Denfield's okay. You know. Even North Shore has one loss.
Oh, I know. Yeah. And North Shore scares me. It does. That team scares me. I almost put them in at my number four spot and realized that they had amassed a very nice collection of cupcakes. I'm like, wow, that a boy.
They hit the bakery pretty
hard. They did.
So, and I think we were talking before sections in Class AA that are kind of mind-boggling, just pathetically bad. Three is bad. One is
weak.
But it's still got a good Lakeville team. South this past week, so they're on the top 15 conversation right now. Yeah,
that's a bloodbath matchups going on there because Lakeville's play each other this week. You look at 8 is down. There's nobody really standing out. We want to talk about St. Michael Elberville, but we can't figure them out.
No, we can't.
St. Francis.
Yeah, so that's another weird section. And 7 is. Really just that's like a Powerball jackpot
really is.
And section 4 has two good teams, but when you get beyond Hill and Stillwater,
like North St. Paul, Tartan, I mean
White Bear is third by default just because they have a winning record. They're the only other team with a winning record.
And I stuck Moundsview in there and they got beat 8-1 by Stillwater, so that means it's just that game shows the drop off between the top two and then everything after that.
Okay, last game that I really want to talk about this week is Eden Prairie versus Blaine, which we touched on already. If you're a scout, I think you've bookmarked this game on your calendar since the beginning of the season. If you want to see top 10 draft picks,
two for sure.
It's at Blaine. This is going to be a good game. I think this is another game where Blaine's depth is going to be tested. How well can their second line stand up to the Middlestad line or the Graham line? Really, that's going to be the true test in this game. Mm-hmm. And can Eden Prairie stay out of the box? Because I think if Blaine goes on the power play, I've seen it before where it's really tough to just taking shots.
Yeah, from that one spot, right? Mm-hmm.
From that one spot, same right spot. Below the hash. He likes it. Which, when you're that big, you call your spot.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I think that's all I really wanted to talk about. Anybody else want to talk about anything else before we go?
No, it's been fun doing this show with you guys. I've enjoyed rolling up my sleeves and getting to know the high school game. I've done so many squirts and peewees and bantams, and now it's fun to actually see these kids I've covered for 5 years at that level, you know, progress. You know, you talk about Gavin Hayne and yep. Casey Middlestad are player of the year candidate, player of the years on as bantams, and now to watch them dominate at this level, it's fun. Yeah. It's fun to watch. Yep. It really yep. is.
Yep. And so, Tony, we can find you on Twitter at Youth Hockey Hub. And Carl at Carl East Hockey, and me at COHS Hockey Pod. And I think thanks you guys for listening. We'll see you next week.
All right, see ya.